Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Well, good morning. Glad you're here today. My name is Cody Joyner. I am the kids director and Fort Tulsa coordinator here at the Kirk. I'm so excited. I get to talk to adults today, which I don't get to do super often. So super excited. Glad you're here. I wanted to tell you real quick, you guys are getting a bonus that First Service didn't get. So I want to remind you something back that we just sang because it fits totally with where we're going today. So I'm not going to make you raise your hands, but if you sung during worship, you sung these songs, and I think it's really important that we recognize these words that we just said. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel for the world to see your life in me, okay? I want you to keep that just right at the front of your brain as we go in today. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. We are in our series called Wonder Bread that is talking about all the different times that Jesus ate with people. And we're gonna jump right into it. We're gonna go to Luke. We're gonna back up just a tiny bit. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. This is what it says. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It goes on from there, and Jesus tells them, don't take anything with you. Don't take an extra coat, an extra bag. Don't take food. Don't take supplies. Depend on me, and I'm going to provide. And then you're going to go out and talk about the kingdom of God. You're going to go and heal people. You're going to see amazing things happen. Jesus empowered these men to do what he was already doing. It's a crazy thing to be empowered. Growing up, we long to have this, like, power to do stuff. For example, my son, I love him to death. He's not in here, so I can tell this story. My son, whenever he was little, he saw The Flash for the first time, the superhero cartoon. He saw it, and he was like, oh, that's what I want to do. And so he insisted that we get him some little lightning bolts for his shoes. They were little red and yellow lightning bolts. He had to have them, like, on his shoes. And when he had those on, he could run so fast. You wouldn't even believe so fast. It was the cutest thing. We still call him Kid Flash because the kid still runs. He's one of those crazy people that, like, you know, gets a high off of running and just loves to, like, run. But it empowered him. Those little bitty lightning bolts made him feel like he could be the Flash. When I was 18 or 19 years old, I worked at this grocery store. And for some odd reason, they were like, Cody, you can be the night manager. And I was like, yeah, that's right. I get to tell people what to do. I get to affect the direction of this grocery store that is in a little bitty town called Manford, at least from hours of 7 to 10 p.m. And but I had that power. They empowered me. They gave me keys. And I had that empowerment that they gave me. We do it every day. We empower people around us. Our pastors, our elders here at the church, they have a lot of say in what goes on here at the church. We empower our local mayors and city councils and school board members to direct the way our town is going to be ran. Our local, our state, our national leaders, we vote and we empower them to run the country. And those choices, those empowerments, have a lot of consequences, a lot of good and bad for everybody. We empower those people to do things they're going to benefit, or the opposite word of benefit, us. Empowerment is a crazy thing that doesn't just affect you, but it affects everybody around you. Empowerment is a big, big deal. And Jesus empowered these men to go out in his name to preach his word and show who God really was. Today, Jesus still does that. He still empowers us to set out and show the world what the love of God really means. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit today. So Jesus empowers his followers. They go out. They do these awesome things. They come back. They're all pumped up. They're excited. And their lives are changed for about 5 minutes. And then we get to our scripture that we're reading today. Let's go back. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. It says this. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it, and they followed him. And Jesus welcomed them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. I'm going to throw a little nugget at you real quick. I love this. Every time I hear about Jesus doing something, I am always amazed, and I always love that Jesus doesn't just say words. He doesn't just tell the people something, but there's always an action behind it. We're talking about that in kids and kiddos right now. Jesus never just says something. He backs it up with an action. And I think that's so important that us, his followers, do the same. It's never just about words, but it's about showing the tangible love of God to the people that are around us. So let's keep reading. Verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and they said, send the crowds away so that we can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place here. And Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. Now, I don't think, and a lot of like really smarter theologian people than me don't think, that the disciples were doing this because they're like, oh, we're so sick of these people. Just send them away, Jesus. Let them go figure their lives out. But it was more, they cared. They were concerned. There weren't any Taco Bells or McDonald's right there close to where they were. They couldn't just send them over to the store to make some sandwiches out of, you know, white bread and ham. They needed to go somewhere so they could eat. Everybody was hungry. It had been a long day. It had been a long, probably week. They were ready to eat. And so out of compassion, they're like, Jesus, these people aren't leaving unless you tell them to leave. So go ahead. And Jesus, being Jesus, totally out of left field, gives them the command, nah, you guys feed them. You can do this. You're smart people. You're smart guys. You've been doing this for like weeks. Go ahead, give them something to eat. The disciples, I can just imagine. I can just imagine all that the disciples had to go through in this moment. The cool thing about this story is we actually have four accounts. This story is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's in all the Gospels. And I like to think about it kind of like sitting at a baseball game. Depending on where you sit, depends on what view of the game you're going to have. And the Gospels do that for us for this story. We get the same story, but we have four different point of views that are telling us what happens. And in another view, we find that this meal, these five loaves and two fishes, come from a little boy who gave up his lunch. Now, I will tell you, if you've been around kids at all, if you've volunteered in kids ministry, this isn't crazy, because if you ask a kid to give you something, they're probably not going to give it to you. But if you don't ask them for it, if like it's just available, they will totally give you everything. I can't tell you how many Sundays I get some little trinket from one of the kids upstairs. Usually they've drawn it or made a bracelet or something like that. But kids love to give stuff out. And I'm sure this little boy wanted to just give his lunch, go towards the cause. But on the disciple side of it, Jesus asked us to feed these 5,000 men plus women, children. So we're talking like 9 to 12,000 people. And they have this little basket of bread and fish, like, here, Jesus, feed 5,000. I can't imagine. But we see Jesus being Jesus. We know that when he is given something, when we give our all to God, it's going to be a whole lot bigger than if we kept it to ourselves. We see it all throughout the Bible. We see the widow with the two coins. We see the church of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians verses 8, chapter 8. We see the widow who gave Elijah a little bit of flour and oil. We see Joseph of Arimathea giving the tomb for Jesus' body to be laid in. All of those instances and a whole lot more, when they are given to God, big things happen. Great moments start with giving. Now, I'm not talking about taking up another offering. Everybody gets a little weird sometimes whenever we talk about giving. It's like, oh, I don't have a wallet. I don't know. There's not going to be anybody at the back door. So I'm not talking about that kind of giving this morning. But I'm talking about giving everything we have within ourselves. Our time, our effort, our money, our things, the things that we have in our hands, giving it to God so that more things can happen. The disciples, like we said, they were surely in a state of duress, giving their things. And honestly, I can think back at times in my life where I've been like, God, what's this $20 going to do towards this missionary? What's this 1 hour of time that I have going to matter to that person that needs some help? What's this phone call going to matter to somebody who's been in the hospital? These little things that we have in our hands. But when we give them to God, you and I both know they can make a huge difference in somebody's day, in somebody's life, in somebody's project. God shows up when we allow him to use the things that he's given us. We see it all throughout the Bible. It isn't just a money thing. It's everything we have. And we heard just a couple weeks ago when we were in the book of Acts, what happened when the followers all got together. They shared their things. They sold their property. They were together praising God. And what happened? Daily, numbers were added to those that were being saved. When we are together, when we are sharing the things that we have, when we are giving to those that need it, we see people get to know God. People were taken care of because they shared and they gave to one another in need, and God blessed it. So let's go back to our scripture today. It started off with that handoff to Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 16, it says, then Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. He gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. Jesus took, he blessed, he broke, and he gave. If you've been in church any amount of time, those words probably sound familiar to you. We do it here the first of the month, every month. Whenever Jesus gave the first communion, when he gave at the Last Supper, he gave us this example of taking the bread and the juice, blessing it, breaking it, and then he gave it out. He took something that was one thing, he blessed it and broke it and made it into something else, an example for us, a sacrament that we can all follow. But the thing about that is Jesus didn't repeat that over and over. That was the one time he did it, and he showed his disciples what to do, and then he empowered them to go do it. Today, we take communion. We remember what Jesus did because somebody before showed how to do it. Jesus is using us to continue and show the power that he has. God wants us to be a part of his work. We get to be his distribution crew. We get to be the ones that show the world the love of Jesus. And he's going to help us do it. The disciples, they could have been confident that Jesus was going to feed everybody because Jesus told them that he was going to. Now, were they in that moment? I don't know. Would you have been? Would I have been? I don't know. I want to think that, like, yeah, I believe that Jesus is going to do it. But I also would have been looking at those baskets going, how are we going to do this? Jesus, what are you doing? When we're wanting to be God's people, when we're wanting to follow him, when we're wanting to bring heaven to earth, like it says in the Lord's Prayer, we're going to be able to trust, and we're going to be able to trust that whatever God has in store for us, whatever God has in store for those around us, it will be enough. Luke chapter 9, verse 17, it says, they all ate and they were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Not just enough, but more than enough. Now, hold on. We're not going like full prosperity gospel or anything here. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about God providing for our needs, God providing the things that we need in our lives and for the lives of the people that are around us when we trust him, when we are trusting that the things that God has given us, that he's going to bless, and he's going to bless others with it. I remember as a teenager, my youth pastor doing this story. This is one of the stories that stuck with me forever. He said, you know, you got to think that there were people in those lines sitting down that were seeing the basket come down and go, that doesn't look like that much food. I'm gonna make sure I get a little extra for me. And then it moving down and it still being enough food. You know that there were people who did that because we would do that. But God made sure it didn't matter that some people took too much. Some people didn't take enough. God made sure people had enough and enough that they were satisfied. When we're a giving people, God will show just how far his reach is. But it starts with us being that giving people, taking what God has given us and giving it back to him. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think it's important. I think that's something that we all need to hear every once in a while. It's not, oh, Bob only gave $20 this week. Betsy only gave 17. God's not checking off a list up there. He's wanting to know what we have in our heart, what he has spoken to us to give. Maybe that's a dollar. Maybe that's 3 hours of help at the church. Maybe that's being there for somebody that's in the hospital. God wants us to give, not out of compulsion, but out of the spirit that he's put inside of us, the love that we have for him. Paul goes on, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Again, not prosperity gospel, but making sure that people are taken care of. God blesses us so that we can bless others. We give, God blesses, and we get to distribute it out. Today we're going to end with a little bit of a, I put warning originally in my notes, but that sounds like ominous. So a little reminder, one of the commentaries that I was reading about this, it says this in there, and I thought it was just too good to leave out. After the 12 returned from spreading the word, this is what it says. God continues to commission his disciples to meet needs. But contemporary disciples like the original 12 may be too busy celebrating past works for the Lord and neglect to ask for power to accomplish a present work. They may be so proud of what they have accomplished for God that they fail to see that more must be done. I think a lot of times we have this big event. We have this big outreach thing that we've done and we're like, yeah, that was awesome. We got to do so many cool things for God. But God's like, that was great. That was awesome. All right, what's next? What are we doing with this? Luke, after he wrote the Gospel of Luke, he went on to write Acts. Acts was not all right, guys, Jesus did it. Woo! Let's wait till he gets back. No, it was, hey, Jesus did this. Now he's called us to do this. Let's keep going and showing people what God is all about. As a kids minister here, I have been absolutely blown away at the generousness of this church. When I got here 3 years ago, it was about this time. I've been here like 3 years and 2 months now. When I got here, my volunteers were like, hey, Cody, when are you going to put up an Amazon wish list for VBS? And I was like, that's goofy. Why would I do that? Like, we have budget. We have money set aside for VBS. They're like, no. People want to give. People want to be a part of what's going on at the church. And so I kid you not, I made this long VBS list that I was like, I mean, if we get all this stuff, cool. If not, you know, it's going to be okay. Within 2 weeks, it was gone. And I had people ask me, hey, what else can we get for Vacation Bible School? I see it every year whenever we do For Tulsa Sunday. We have people that stick around and go and buy groceries and then come back and pack groceries. And every year, without fail, I see these ministries that we're able to buy for go like, dude, we had no idea. We knew we were going to get some stuff, but this is such a blessing. This is such a monumental thing for our ministry that your church has helped out with. I got to talk to Kelly from Filling the Void last week. I got to present him a check. We were able to give almost $3,000 to Filling the Void a couple weeks ago. Like, out of the blue. Like, it wasn't even a super planned thing. But he told me stories about how, like, other things had fallen through, like, literally days before, that how great this was going to be. This church is a giving church and a generous church. And I don't want to take anything away from that. But in the same step, where are we going next? What are we doing next? As the Fort Tulsa coordinator, I'm going to be hitting a lot of you up to volunteer, to use your hands, the things that God has blessed you with, to go and bless others with. Because that's why God blesses us. That's why God gives us things. That's why God gives us skills to be able to share his love. Just one more avenue to show people the great love that Jesus has for them. We know that our world is in a rough spot. We know that things are hard. We know that things are hard for families in this church, in Tulsa, in Oklahoma, in the United States, in the world. We know that the world is rough. And while we can't wave a magic wand, we can't, you know, just snap our fingers and make things better, we can make effective change around us. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our city. We have lots and lots of opportunities day in and day out to do that. So I want to encourage you, be those hands, be those feet, be those people that have your hands open, not holding stuff too tight, but allowing the love of God to flow through you, to work through you, to see the people around us get to know Jesus just a little bit better. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for being you. God, we know that you have a plan and a purpose for this church and for more specifically each and every single one of us. And so God, help us to be a part of that plan. Help us to get on board with what you want to do, not just in our lives, but Lord, in the lives of the people that are around us. Lord, we pray that you empower us to be your hands and feet, to speak the words that you would speak, to be that crying shoulder, to be that helping hand to the people that are around us. God, we know that you love us. And so, Lord, help us to share your love with the people that we're around. Thank you, God, for being you. Thank you for being awesome. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.